Good morning, church. Reading can be found on page 1082 in the church Bible, and it is John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Amen.
Thank you, Claire. Mike's going to come and unpack that for us, and you don't know how much I've been looking forward to this. It was supposed to be last week, but they got the dates mixed up, which was wonderful, because I wasn't here.
No, no pressure. Well, good morning, and a warm welcome here at Cornerstone, and on Zoom as well from myself. And yes, please do keep your Bibles open in John 14, page 1082. In the church Bibles, and as ever, we need God's help, don't we? So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for who he is, what he has done. Thank you for his words. And as we look particularly at some of his very famous words this morning, help us see afresh the amazing things that Jesus is telling us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So yes, we come to our final I am statement this morning, and it's a great one, isn't it? Chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But as ever, when we come to Jesus' words, and we're trying to get our heads and our hearts around them, we need to figure out the situation he said them in. So please look back with me to chapter 14 and verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, at this point, we could say, what troubles our hearts? I mean, I'm sure we've all got things that trouble our hearts. But a better question to ask is, what was troubling the hearts of the disciples who first heard Jesus say this? What was in their problems? Well, you look back into John chapter 13, and there you hear how Jesus was about to be betrayed. Jesus knew that, and he told the apostles that he was going to be betrayed. That's troubling, isn't it? Or Jesus had just told his disciples in John 13, straight up and down, you're to love one another, just like Jesus loves them. And at first hearing, that sounds great, doesn't it? But then you pause for a moment and think, does that include loving that person I find quite difficult? Even at church? Does that include loving Mike Walton? You know what I mean, it sounds good. Loving is popular, isn't it? It's a good thing, but it actually, when you think about it, it's hard. Their hearts were troubled. What about the end of chapter 13? Please look with me at chapter 13 and verse 36. Chapter 13 and verse 36. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow later." Jesus is going to leave them. Now, remember, the disciples, the apostles, they've given us up so much for Jesus so far. You know what I mean? They were away from home for long periods. They weren't staying in the best hotels or traveling first class. It was not an easy life. And they were looking forward to the future with Jesus. And here is Jesus saying to them, "Guys, I'm off." Their hearts were troubled. I mean, that's just three different things in John chapter 13. But don't similar things trouble our hearts as well? I mean, the future betrayal of Jesus was shocking, wasn't it? And if you were there, sat in that room when he told them, it'd be like, how can this be part of God's plan? Now, we're on the other side of the cross. We know how God had it all sorted out. Jesus had to go to the cross. Jesus had to be betrayed. But don't we struggle with the same questions today? When we don't understand things? God, how can you let those wars in, whether it's the Ukraine or the Middle East or whatever, how can you let them go on for so long? There's no easy answer. And our hearts can be troubled. And what about that loving one another in the reality of life? That can be at times tough, costly, sapping even. You know, I mean, at times when you're loving somebody, And you're not getting any love back, it can feel plain unjust. And that's just within church, never mind in the world. Troubled hearts. Oh, Jesus, you're going to go away. Jesus has gone away. And we don't see him face to face like the disciples did. We can't enjoy a hug together, whether that be a manly sideways on hug or a full body blow hug. We think of our faith in Jesus and we think it'd be so much stronger if Jesus was just stood at the front of the church instead of Mike Walton. Our hearts can easily be troubled. And what's Jesus' answer? Well, chapter 14 and verse 1 nails it. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Believe in God, believe in Jesus. Know God the Father, know God the Son. And our first point this morning, sorry, I didn't put them in the PowerPoint today. Believe or know Jesus. He's getting your forever home ready for you. He's getting your forever home ready for you. Please look with me at chapter 14 and verse 2. "My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." A room in our Father's house. And it's not like a room in a hotel where you have a room and access to the public spaces as long as you pay your bill. This is your Father's home. It will become your home. Your Father. Ever home. I mean, I don't know if you've heard that phrase on TV, whether that be on Grand Designs or whatever. You know what I mean? People are forever looking, they're looking for their forever home. And when people say that, you sort of know what they mean, but the language isn't great, is it? Because one thing is certain, however lovely their house is, it ain't going to last them forever. Unlike Jesus, because he is getting ready our forever home. And isn't it the thing our hearts long for? It's why people on Homes Under the Hammer or Grand Designs, it's why they're looking for their forever home, because there's a longing. And no wonder, think back to Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, When Adam and Eve, they rebelled and turned their backs on God, what was one of the what was part of God's judgment on them? To be barred from the Garden of Eden. To be barred from home. And humanity has felt it ever since. I mean, you talk to somebody who literally has no home or no roof over their head, no place to belong. It can be devastating. People are meant to have a home. And ultimately, that home is meant to be with God our Father and his Son. A house with many, many rooms. And therefore, as the disciples face the future without Jesus, they're thinking, Jesus, oh, crikey, where are you going? We're going to be without you. And many of these disciples, they ended up suffering in terrible ways. They all died, didn't they? And some of them died being crucified upside down. Others were impaled on a stake. One was sawn in two. Another was pulled apart by horses. Others were fed to the lions. A more boring, but still just as horrible in many ways, the possibility of dying in a hospital bed in Basildon. Well, Jesus has got our real forever home ready for us. And it's a home which isn't about the number of bedrooms or the size of the kitchen or whether the garden faces north or south. But a home where the focus is very much, first and foremost, verse 3, on a person, on Jesus. And people, they are always what matter the most, aren't they? You know what I mean? We live in a culture which is obsessed with stuff and experiences, but even modern society knows when push comes to shove, relationships are the ultimate thing that matters. People know this because it's an echo of the eternal reality that Jesus spells out here. People are what matters, and the fully divine and fully human Jesus matters the most. He's the true heart of our forever home. Believe, know deep within, Jesus is getting your forever home ready for you. But then secondly, Jesus, know Jesus, because he will he will escort you to your forever home. Verse 3. And I will go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. It's a striking picture, isn't it? When a Christian dies, who is there waiting on the other side of death to take you home? It's Jesus. You know what I mean? He will take you by the hand and escort you to your forever home. I mean, there's no danger of the sat-nav going wrong and driving you off into a ditch, or going left instead of right at the crossroads. Jesus is the ultimate guide. He's done the journey many, many times. He will take you with him. I mean, there's a story of a Christian man called Henry Wren, who died a few hundred years ago. And he hadn't been well for a while, and no one knew what was wrong. But then the doctor, he saw a doctor and he told him, actually, I think you've only got a matter of days to live. Well, the change in Henry was instantaneous. He became so high-spirited and so excited that he lasted longer than anyone expected. And why? Why the high spirits? You know, I mean, you're going to die. Most people go, ooh. Well, he knew he was about to meet Jesus, and Jesus was going to escort him to his forever home. I mean, he'd been waiting so long to see Jesus face to face. The wait was nearly over. He went to his death over the moon. Well, the disciples here, they sat listening to Jesus say all this. But instead, let's be honest, I'm not like Henry, and many of us aren't. Instead, our hearts are troubled, aren't they? But here, do not let your hearts be troubled. Let them be stilled. The long wait is nearly over. But then we get to Thomas, and it's as if Thomas hasn't heard a word that Jesus has said. Please look with me at verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? So Jesus spells it out with these famous words. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And our third point this morning, know Jesus, he's the way to our forever home. And actually, I hope you can see that actually Jesus is using different words to communicate practically what he's already said in verses 1 to 4. It's as if Jesus is saying to them, you think you don't know the where and the how to eternal life, but you do because you know me. I mean, these guys, they didn't understand everything about Jesus. There was lots that they got wrong. But they understood the key thing, which was they knew Jesus. That's interesting, isn't it? Because often, we humans, we often think we know more than we actually do in reality. But here it's the other way around. They knew more than they realized. And the key there is in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in Jesus. Know Jesus. I mean, the disciples, they already knew Jesus. They were already sorted. I remember a dear Christian woman who died a number of years ago, and her husband was just left totally in bits, distraught. But actually, he was even distraught before she died, because he realized that he'd been taking her for granted for so many years. For years, he'd failed to realize just what a gift and blessing he had in his wife. Well, the disciples, likewise, had failed to realize what they had in Jesus. They had him. And they had all the blessings that come from him. And they just didn't realize it. So Jesus spells it out to them. I am the way. The answer to Thomas' doubts was just staring him in the face, literally. And just so we're clear, in the context of verses 1 to 5, this has to be the way to the Father's house, isn't it? Jesus here is talking about salvation and the things of eternity. Some people go to church, some people even lead churches, will try to say here, Jesus is not talking about salvation. Seriously. Well, it just won't do. It's crystal clear what Jesus is getting at. And then the truth and the life that follow support this. It's not obvious in the English, but in the Greek, the emphasis is obviously on Jesus is the way. And then the truth and the life are helping to help us shine light further on what it means to be the way. So Jesus, the person, is the way. He's the escort and the destination, our forever home. It's personal, isn't it? But it's also true. It's the truth. I mean, our culture today, it wants to divide personal experience and truth with a capital C. They want it's as if the two never meet. Well, Jesus does the opposite. He brings them together. Personal and true truth. Truth that we've all rebelled against God and don't deserve to be in his forever home with him. But Jesus came to prepare a place for us, and that meant him going to the cross. Dying on the cross for our sin and rebellion to pay the price and then to beat death. I mean, you can't get more personal than that, but it's also wonderfully true. Reality based in history. The good news of Jesus is true, and it's why people need to hear about him. Whether that be the villagers in Benin, our neighbours, our work colleagues, the people of Thurrock. And yes, most people don't accept that Jesus is true. I mean, there's lots of us in this room today. At one point in our lives, we didn't accept Jesus was the truth either. And history is clear, though. Just because the majority of the people believe in something doesn't make it true. I mean, at one point, the majority of people in our world believed the earth was flat, didn't they? We didn't make it right. Our basis for truth has to be based on something on firmer ground than loads of people say so. Whoever shouts loudest wins. Is there anyone better qualified than the Son of God himself to tell us the truth? the one who has been to the grave and conquered death, he's wonderfully and uniquely qualified to be the way, to be the truth, but also to be the life. And the life here, again, it has to be talking about eternal life, doesn't it? I mean, our future existence with Jesus isn't some sort of suspended existence. It's life. As he says elsewhere, life in all its fullness, life with no more pain, life being lived as God created us to live it. With our eyes and our hearts focused on Jesus, but that, as that happens, we also enjoy all the other blessings that he gives us. Jesus is true life for us. And what are we to do with this? Verse 1 again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Our hearts can be troubled by many things, but the future is often the biggest one, isn't it? And the biggest question of the future is death and what comes next. I mean, our medical industry, it spends billions of pounds of dollars every year to try and delay that inevitable. Yes, we should make use of modern science when possible. But do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in Jesus. Know Jesus. Trust him with your life, with your death. Talk to him day by day. Listen to him. Ask him for a sight to see his hand at work in your life. Hang on to Jesus with all that you have. It's possible for people to hang around to hang around churches for years, but to miss personally knowing Christ. Yes, Thomas could reach out and touch Jesus, couldn't he? We can't do that. But Jesus is with us here. Wherever we go, he lives there, calling our soul back to him. And sometimes we go wandering away from him, don't we? If you're a Christian, you wander away from Jesus at various points every single day. You know, I mean, that's the reality of sin. Sometimes we might wander away for longer, for weeks or even months, and it's not good for us. But when we know Jesus, that link is never lost, and he whispers into our ear. Whether it was just half an hour since we wandered away from him, or perhaps even years, come back. And we do. Why? Because we know him. We trust him. And some of us here might not yet know Jesus like this. And Jesus says, I long for that to change, for you to believe in him, to know the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want that to change today, please don't leave without speaking to myself or one of the elders or to any other Christian here this morning. And then just in case people miss one of the really obvious implications of all this, Jesus spells it out at the end of verse 6. That verse again. Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And our final point this morning. Know Jesus, otherwise you'll miss out on that forever home. And those last few words, they're uncomfortable, aren't they? But they're also true. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to God is via Jesus, the way. The only way. And that means Islam is wrong. Buddhism is wrong. Sikhism is wrong. Secularism is wrong. Materialism is wrong. Even Judaism without Jesus the Messiah is wrong. You know, I mean, we could go on and on. Now, we have to be careful here. Because lots of these religions do say some true things about the world. They even say some true things about God. I mean, Islam claims that Allah is a forgiving God. And they're right, God is forgiving, he's wonderfully forgiving. Now, he's not called Allah, but more importantly, there's so many other things that Islam get wrong about God. And the biggest of which is to ignore the significance of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So, other religions can have some truth, but none of them point to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And as we've seen, knowing Jesus is fundamental to reaching our forever home. Now, some Christians go around pointing out that Jesus is the only way to God, to people of other religions, sometimes to do it in the most strident terms possible, and at times are just plain rude, at times are even offensive in the way they do it. And I'm not convinced that is godly or pleasing to Jesus. Jesus calls us to communicate graciously to others about him. And the exclusive claim of Jesus to be the only way to God, yes, is offensive to some people, and sometimes people will be offended. That will happen. But when I'm talking to someone else of another faith, my aim isn't to offend them. What's our aim? Our aim is to say, look, here's Jesus. I want you to meet Jesus, who he is and what he has done for them. And then depending how the conversation goes on, it might be really important to be clear in that conversation that Jesus claims to be the only way. And other religions, according to Jesus, are not right. And you might either Jesus is right, or he is the way, the truth, and life, or he's terribly, terribly wrong. You need to figure out if Jesus can be trusted. Because no one comes to the Father except through me. So it's important we do say these things clearly at the appropriate time, but to do so graciously. And that does have implications for people around us. Because living life without Jesus is a serious business. But as we close, remember first and foremost, Jesus wants us to have our eyes on verse 1 as we respond to this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. To drive away fear and to put ourselves in the hands of Jesus. Jesus, our forever home. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that there are truths and things that we can know about you and your purposes and your ways and how you reveal things about ourselves. And those are great things, but thank you so much that ultimately it's about knowing you and your Son and your Holy Spirit coming to live within us. It's about that relationship. And in knowing Jesus, he is the one who will take us to our forever home. He is our forever home, to be in his presence. We rejoice and look forward to that day, Father. And keep us hanging on to Jesus each and every day, because he is our way, truth, and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.